she's going to be bringing the word to us. Why don't you just extend your hands to her right now? So, Father God, we bless Sarah. We thank you for the word you put in her heart. Father, we pray for those rivers that are flowing inside of her belly right now to be spewed out into this place, God. To be spewed out, God. Open up the floodgates, God. Yeah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm a bit of a wreck. That was a good prayer, T. Thank you for praying over the women. Yay. How many of y'all felt that? Yeah. Ooh, I feel like he does want to strengthen our weeble knees. Is that even? Is that what it is? Feeble.
Woo!
They feel weeble. Weeble wobble and they don't. Anyway, whatever. Feeble knees. I even, in worship, I just sat down because I felt the need that I was going to have to stand up here the whole time. My legs were feeling just kind of weak, you know. And I just felt like the Lord, when he was praying, that the Lord was just saying, y'all going to be running. I'm going to strengthen you. That was really a word, and I want us to take it. You know, the Lord wants to strengthen us, you know, and I'm sharing today because I felt the Lord. Yesterday, Matthew's been asking me to preach, and a lot of times I'm doing worship, so to do worship and preach is kind of a lot, but I realized I had this week off, and I felt the Lord emphasize worship. I was like, okay, Lord, what are you wanting to say? And I felt like he was saying there is a spiritual war that's going on right now. Yeah. And worship is your warfare.
Yeah.
Praise is a weapon.
Yeah.
And don't forget. And I felt like he was saying the spiritual war will continue until the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever.
Yeah.
That's Revelation 11:15. And that's our hope, is that he's won, okay? But in the midst of the war, I feel like right now he's wanting us to be in alignment.
Amen.
With him. Yes. He's saying, I want to speak to you. I want to remind you of prayer, intercession, and worship, and the power of it in your own lives, but also corporately. I felt like this was a corporate word that the Lord was saying to me, but I feel like it also involves, you know, the coming in together that we do is an overflow of our individual times at home.
Yeah.
With the Lord during the week. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's an overflow when we come together and we worship together. And I just believe that the Lord wants to align us and remind us of one of the most foundational weapons. And that's praise, to know who we are as a royal priesthood with revelation of being a son and a daughter.
Yeah.
That worship today was so good.
Yeah.
I'm no longer a slave to fear, for I am a child of God. And as we started just declaring, could y'all just feel it?
Oh, yeah.
We were just declaring, you know, the King of glory. And then that at the end, we're beautiful, glorious. It's like that is the purpose of worship. Is to bring glory and honor to his name.
Amen.
You know? And the side wonderful things is that the Lord ministers and touches those of us in the room at the same time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's the side benefit of one of the awesome things of worship. Mm-hmm. But 1 Peter 2:4-5 and 9. So yesterday I got up and I was just reading with the Lord. I was reading in my Bible. I literally could not put it down. I mean, it was just like, I felt like I was just so. If I read a lot of scriptures today, I'm not going to apologize. Just hang with me, okay? Because I really felt like the Lord wants to give us some truths. It's like he wants to awaken our minds and our hearts and our imaginations to the reality of who we are, to the reality of who He is, and get us in that alignment. And just sometimes, do you need the Lord just to shake off the dust and to that fire? Come be the fire inside of me. Breathe upon the fire inside of me. Mm-hmm. You know, and I feel like He wants to do that, and He wants to just, I don't know, it's almost like speaking to our creativity and our imaginations. He wants to wash over our hearts and minds this morning, renew our minds, and awaken our imaginations to the wonder of His kingdom this morning. So 1 Peter 2, 4 through 5, coming to Him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We are being built together. He is building something. I've told you several times when Lydia spoke that thing when she was 3 years old, she said, God's making a name and He knows what He's doing. You know, she was just playing Lincoln Logs. And I knew the Lord was speaking to me, saying, God is building something and He knows what He's doing, so trust Him. And the thing is that that's a great picture of us as a body of Christ, is that we are living stones. He is the chief cornerstone. He's the chief cornerstone. And the Holy Spirit is the glue that's holding us all together. You know? But we are a royal priesthood. And if you read on in 1 Peter 2, verse 9, if you can click on verse 9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. We're being built up as a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices. Yeah. And that's part of our inheritance, is that we are each, every single one of us, kings and priests in His house. He's made us through Jesus. He's made us kings and priests. One of the things I was thinking about when we were taking communion today, we were up this week helping Judah and Amy paint their new apartment that they're moving in, brown walls to white walls. And it was like, by the time we got to the third coat, I was like, you know, just wear you out. But they had this worship music playing, and it's like we were just painting away and all of us singing and just having fun. I heard this song, and what it said was, he was saying, the cup did not pass you by. You drank the whole thing. And when he said, it's like it hit me. The cup did not pass you by. You drank the whole thing. And I realized we have a lot to rejoice in. That cup that I couldn't have bared, the cup that Jesus chose, not my will, but yours be done, to die on the cross. You know, so many of us, there are people, His sacrifice is there for us as a free gift. But there are people who are going to step over that sacrifice and say, no, thank you, I'm good. But I don't want to be one who does not acknowledge that sacrifice. We get to receive it. And we have the fullness. Christ, because He died, He made us each kings and priests in His kingdom. And He is worthy to receive the worship and the praise that is due His name. He is worthy. And worship is giving honor and glory to the one who sits upon the throne and unto the Lamb be glory and honor and power and dominion. You know, it's an exciting thing when you realize, when you allow the Lord to bring revelation to your heart, that we've been made sons and daughters. We're no longer slaves to fear. And so I was just been contemplating the fact that, you know, one of the words we were given at the beginning of this year, it was probably November, December of last year, is that this was going to be a building year. You know, it was a year to build. In other words, don't pack it in and just go, Lord, we're hanging on for dear life, you know, but it's time to build. And when I was reading this, I was feeling like the Lord was saying, okay, but the thing is I want you to ask me how. Don't just go forward and go, okay, God's building. He's doing so much good things. Okay, I'm so excited. Okay, let's do this. That's a good idea. Okay, let's do this. That's a good idea. Okay, let's do this. That sounds good to all men. Just felt the Lord saying, I want you to ask me. I want you to ask me. I do have a way. I do have a plan. And if you'll ask me, it's going to be really good. And so I was saying to the Lord, okay, what is it that you're doing? Okay, you are building us together. We are living stones. We're puzzle pieces for your kingdom. We are being built together as living stones. This is exciting, that we would be able to be that house of God, you know, that we would be able to give him praise and see the atmosphere change. Yeah. That we would be able to give him glory, honor that's due his name, and that we would be able to see the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, such hope in that. And so I started to read I started to look back where David, okay, when they were going to bring the Ark of the Covenant in. And the first time, if you remember, so if you want to look in your Bibles, or we can bring it up on the screen also, First Chronicles, I was looking at how the first time when David, when they brought in, that was that time things were building, things were going great, you know, and they were like, and David was king, you know, he was like, we need to get the Ark. And they just quickly, it seems like, you know, yeah. And it even says that it seemed right to men. Like they even said that, you know, that getting the Ark, yeah, let's do it. But what happened was they didn't ask God for how. They weren't really thinking through those things. How, Lord, what do you want to do? And that's when Uzzah goes to put his hand on the Ark to steady the Ark, and he dies. Okay, now, I'm so thankful that Jesus Christ has died for our sins and that we can trust in him and that he's a really good father and he takes care of us. But I do know that it's not like God's doing that like, you dummy. You know, it's more like, I have a way and I want you to know my ways. Do you want to know my ways? And so then, you know, David, at first, that freaked him out. He sends the Ark to Obed-Edom, and he is blessed in his home. You know, it's just God. It's just like, when he's around, you be blessed. You know? And so then David's like, okay, we need to get the Ark, but let's ask God. You know, let's talk to him. And that's where in 1 Chronicles 15, it says, then David said, no one may carry the Ark of God but the Levites, for the Lord has chosen them to carry the Ark of God and to minister before him forever. And I was reading that word minister before him, and that means to wait on, to serve, to minister, to attend. And also, you know, in today's, okay, so there's different. The priests and the Levites in their ministry in the tabernacle and in the temple served God. Examples of significant positions of service to important persons included Joseph to Potiphar, Joshua to Moses, Elisha to Elijah. Okay, and it's one of the things that you notice, what I've noticed is funny, because one of my sons was telling me this week, he was saying, do you notice that Jesus doesn't really talk about leadership? He talks about serving. And I was like, yeah, because he said the greatest among you shall serve. And his leadership is servant leadership. He got down and washed the feet of the disciples. Right? He said, the greatest among you shall serve. And I just was reading how so much the scriptural, that our idea, right, to minister conveys this authority and austerity, and people think, oh, you're a minister, you know, like it's got this, you know, when really the Bible, while the scriptural use of the term conveys yieldedness, servanthood, and obedience. And when I was reading that, I was like, that we would minister to you forever, that we would have hearts that are yielded to the Lord, that in our worship, it would be a posture of, Lord, we yield to you. God, we want to honor you. We want to glorify you. And we want to obey what you tell us. We want to yield to your heart. You know, and then in verse 13, David says, for because you did not do it the first time, the Lord our God broke out against us, because we did not consult him about the proper order. So the priests and the Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel. Now you could read this and be like, oh, this is a hard word. That's not how I felt it at all. I felt it more of like the Lord saying, look, I want you to learn from me. And I'm saying right now, in this time of war, it's time to get aligned. Yeah. And the alignment is the priests. I've made you kings and priests. Yes. I've made you all kings and priests. Yeah. And you are that you might carry the presence of the Lord into every situation. Every situation. And that our hearts and our would be in a place of ministering to the Lord at all times, as unto the Lord, yielded, serving him, obeying him with our lives. Because worship, I believe that the corporate aspect that the Lord is reminding us, Lord, is keep your hearts in a place of worship. Worship has always been an important part of River Life. It's always been a core value. It will always. Freedom in worship will always be a core value for ours. The Holy Spirit, allowing the Holy Spirit to move among us, is very important to us. And I just want to say this too. You know, when you hear my dad yawp and holler from the back, and you hear people holler out from these places back here, that raw, that is that cry from the depths of us for, yes, Lord, all that you have, yeah. The real, raw, true, that's what this world needs. Yeah. This world needs an encounter with the real. Come on. You know, and if we all, I don't want to be like Michael, David's wife. Is that Micah? What? Micah. That's right. Micah. Anyways, I don't want to be like her where she's like, gosh, what are you dancing all crazy? Yeah. And David says, I'll be even more undignified than this.
Amen. That's right.
You know, the truth of the matter is we all need to shed the things that hold us back, because worship is our warfare, and praise is a weapon. And we are walking in to a time now, more than ever, that we need the real worship in spirit and in truth. The worship that brings heaven to earth, that shatters all the just junk, and allows the presence of the Lord, his peace to be released, his authority, his power, his glory in the room. I don't know about y'all, but how many of y'all want that?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We say yes and amen, right?
Amen.
So I just want to tell y'all, from Matthew and I, we don't care. If you want to dance, if it's unto the Lord, be free. Please. If you want to holler out, let it loose. You know, we are here to worship the Lord. And we heard somebody say one time, this is the best thing I'd ever heard. I love this. He said at this youth conference, he said, "Don't judge my breakthrough till you see my been through." I was thinking, if that ain't the truth, I don't know what it is. You know, when people are rejoicing in their breakthrough, when they, it's like when you are, look what the Lord's done. It makes you want to dance. It makes you want to shout.
Yeah.
When you're having a fresh revelation of who God is, like I was saying, where that one line just hit me so hard. It's like it made me be like, wow, yes, thank you, Lord. And that thankfulness, that is what David was tapping into. He was realizing the reality of the goodness of God. And he was so thankful that the Ark of the Covenant was coming into his town, was coming to, with him. You know, it's like, let's just rejoice. Because the atmosphere is going to shift and everything's going to change because God is in the midst of us. We shall not be moved. And so the purpose of worship is to honor and glorify the Heavenly Father.
Amen.
This is a ministry unto the Lord,
amen.
Right? And the byproduct, the wonderful byproduct, is that it changes the atmosphere and people are blessed and touched.
Amen.
But we need to remember that our focus, and I loved worship this morning because I love when we can get a hold of what I call vertical songs. Songs that are, let's declare who he is. Let's declare, let's worship unto him. Let's minister unto him, right?
Yeah.
And you can feel that. You can feel that what happens is the atmosphere. Matthew even came over to me and said, "Can you feel the peace in the room?" I was like, yeah. You know? And as God continues to build us together, he wants to use each one of us. We are each that living stone,
right?
Being built together. Jesus is the chief cornerstone. And we want to keep our hearts in the place of ministering before him forever. I want to read this next part, okay, in 1 Chronicles 16. So one of the cool things I was seeing is that David appointed different people to be head over the musicians. I was telling Matthew I loved this part because I was realizing, see, you know, it's good to appoint people to do things. You learn about leadership, you know. It's like, you can't do it all, you know. And even when your heart burns for all the things, you really, God does want to. That's why he wants to use each one of us. This is not a one-man show. Now, Jesus, he is the center. But then each one of us is so needed. We're puzzle pieces. And it's exciting to be brought together. Also reminds me that we cannot allow the enemy to divide us. We cannot allow the enemy to come in and isolate any of us. We need one another. We have been made. We've been created as living stones to be built together, not isolated. You're going to need one another. And when the enemy comes in and he starts making you annoyed with everybody in your life, take note. Okay? It's probably not all them. It's probably something going on in you that you need to allow the Lord to get to because you need that very person. You need them. And when the Lord comes to you and reminds you, don't shut them out. Do not shut them out. It's so good. And then it's like, oh, that very living stone in my life, I need, and is actually going to release life if I can let myself lay down those things that are feeling annoying. You know, or this, don't believe lies that the enemy wants to speak to you about other people and the way they view you. Just don't let him do it. It's a lie. If you're not believing the best about people around you, ask the Lord, renew my heart, renew my mind, wash over me so I can believe the best. And I can leave the lies. I can forgive. Whatever I need to do. Whatever you need to do in me, Jesus. I was telling Matthew, I was having a rough day the other day. I was just struggling. And in the middle of the night, don't you love that when the Lord wakes you up in the middle of the night? And he says, hey, Sarah, you just need time with me. You just need time with me. Sometimes your life gets so busy to where even my time with him is not quiet enough. In other words, it's not alone enough. Like, shut the door, nobody else, just you and Jesus. That's what I knew. Because when he wakes me up in the middle of the night, that's the time ain't nobody else around, right? And he's saying, hey, what you're really needing, you don't need to figure out what's wrong with you. You know, don't try to figure out what's wrong with you. You need me. And so when you go to him and you allow him to heal and do those things inside your heart, you open up the door to be able to allow the people that you've been putting up the big walls. And that's just the enemy. It's just the enemy. Because we need each other. That's what I'm talking about. We need each other because we've been knit together, built together, not alone. Not alone. So that's just a little, wow, that was a side note of don't block each other out. We need one another. And if you're feeling like it's everybody else, go to Jesus, because it's probably you. And that's okay. You know, it's okay. Everybody gets there. We've talked about that with Matthew and I. It's like when we're both trying to get something out of the other person that they can't give me, it's probably because I need Jesus. It's because he can't give that to me. But Jesus is saying, hey, you just need me. You just need me. And that's a really good place when he reminds you of that. But David's in verse 7 of chapter 16 of 1 Chronicles. So he's speaking to, he was given this to, on that day, David first delivered this psalm into the hand of Asaph and his brethren to thank the Lord. So Asaph was the one that he was putting over the ministering of the, you know, like head of the choir kind of thing. The minister of music. And so to thank the Lord. And I just, as I was reading this psalm that he gave, it just renewed my heart for what we're doing. Give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing psalms to him, talk of all his wondrous works. Amen. Tell the testimonies, in other words, talk of all the wondrous works. Glory in his holy name, and let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. And if you read about what it means to thank, it's a word called yada. Okay, to revere or worship with extended hands. So if you want to know why we're putting our hands up, that's okay. Why are, you know, sometimes you have to be reminded yourself, like, okay, am I doing this because I just always done it? Or what's going on? You know, let me be reminded. It is giving, that's it, with that's part of that worship, to praise, to give thanks, and acknowledge and declare the merits of someone. Yada is an important word for praise or thanks. Wow. I love that. Yeah. You know, that's so good. So then the next part I want to read to you is Revelation 4 or 5. This is where I want, just real quick, your imaginations to be awakened. Okay? Sometimes you need to remember the heavenly realm. Yeah. You need to remember what's going on in heaven? Because that's our job, that we would release heaven on earth. That's right?
Yeah.
So this is Revelation 4 and 5. I'm just going to read this because I just want to remind you that part of this, I believe, is that we're training for reigning. Isn't that good?
Yeah.
We're training to reign with Jesus. So even though it feels like a war all around,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And it feels like, Lord, what in the world is going on? And I told him, I was like, you know, you just got to turn off that news because I don't want to hear one more word.
Amen.
Because it's just, I mean, like bombarding of fear,
yes,
and anxiety, right?
Yes.
But God in his heavenly throne has not been moved. And the good news about that you find out in Revelation 4 and 5, we're going to read about it, is that he is the only one worthy to open the scroll and be able to release that is our future. He is the only one worthy. He, Jesus, he's the only one worthy. And that's good news because we can know that our future and our past is in his hands.
Amen.
Our future is in his hands. And we can trust him.
Mm-hmm.
So Revelation 4. After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. Immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardis stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes. And they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices.
Wow.
Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Before the throne, there was a sea of glass like crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion. The second living creature was like a calf. And the third living creature had a face like a man. And the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. So all those things, those creatures represent mighty things, right? Lions and the eagle and the man and the calf. The four living creatures having six wings were full of eyes around and within. And they do not rest night or day, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. I also read another version that said, "Who, holy, holy, holy is Lord God Almighty. He was, he is, and he is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. And this is, we're getting ready. We're going somewhere. I'm going to tell you about it. Hold on. So then you get to 5. And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with 7 seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals? So we just talked about all these wild creatures and all these angels and all these elders, but yet not one of them were worthy to open the scroll, right? And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals." And this is what's so awesome. Is there anyone worthy? Is there anyone worthy to open the scrolls? And there is. And he's the Lamb who was slain. The Lamb. Okay? We're talking about all these strong, mighty things. And it's the Lamb who was slain, who is worthy to open the scroll and release the seals, to release the future. To release your future. Who holds your future? Jesus. Not any other person. Not any other king. Not any other president. Not any other nation. It's Jesus. He is the only one worthy. He's the only one worthy. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne of the four living creatures and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb. And though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent out into all the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders, listen to this, fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Do you hear that? It's the prayers, the harps, the worship. The worship and the prayers and the incense that are going up. This is so good. And they sang a new song saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood. Out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation." Every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God. This is what you've been made. This is who we are. We're sons and daughters. We're kings and priests to our God. This is good news. And we shall reign on the earth. Remember I said, you're training for reigning. Right now, we've been walking through hard times, but the Lord wants us to not lose hope and not lose heart and realize that this is the time to connect into His heart. And how are we going to know His heart if we aren't spending time with Him in prayer and in worship? But that is, you know, it's like that is just aligning with Him. And I believe that even though we've gone through a year and a half, how long have we been in this COVID mess? It all gets blurry, right? We're going, you know, feel like you're going through it again, right? Like, okay, everyone ramping up all the COVID cases. But you know what? What I'm saying is, Lord, if there was anything the first time around I didn't get right and I wasn't loving and I wasn't completely at peace in you, Lord, I'm asking you this time, settle that stuff in me. Let me love outrageously. Let me have peace that passes understanding and anchor. And let me be able to speak healing and hope to those that are around me. Amen. You know, I mean, let's get that kind of hope. Yeah. Let's don't think about all the negatives. Let's get that kind of hope. Okay, Lord, we've gone around this mountain once. We don't want to go around it over and over. Okay, so let's get some things right. Let's get in alignment with you and let's worship. Let's praise. Let's say you are worthy to open the scroll. You hold our future. You hold our past and we trust you.
Yeah.
We shall not be moved. we've been destined for victory. And we will learn that our, we will be reminded, let us learn that our role of intercession and authority as believers, as they function, as we function as kings and priests, reigning in Christ while on earth in his kingdom authority. Lord, let us be reminded of the authority that has been given to us as your sons and your daughters. And so that is what I really felt was to remind us, you know, specifically our vision for Sunday mornings and corporate worship is to be vertical, his praise, you know, and then the ministering to the Lord, and then each one bringing a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, that we are cultivating a home and that we could come together and bring him honor and glory, our Heavenly Father, as a body. And then we can receive from the word and from our pastors, and we can minister to one another.
Yeah.
You know, that's our heart, that that would be Sunday mornings. Now, look, as we go out to the campuses, as we go out to the streets and Wednesday night worship and intercession, we want to worship and we want to release the river and we want to call heaven to earth. We want to grow in our understanding and discerning the burden of the Holy Spirit. Like those, I remember we used to have Wednesday night meetings, and it was like, it felt like training. It was like training for, okay, what are you doing, Holy Spirit? What are you doing, Holy Spirit? It's like we would worship and then just like sit there and wait for what the Lord was doing. And it really was like a training ground to be able to listen to the Holy Spirit and learn and discern what he was doing. You know, so I just want to encourage you that Sunday mornings we're going to worship. We want to, everything that the Lord's been doing in you during the week, bring it. You know, let that river be released, and let's worship. Let's give him honor. Let's set our eyes on him. Let's let his name be lifted high in this place, and know that it's going to shift the atmosphere with confidence, with that confidence of who we've been created to be as kings and priests. Okay? And this is exciting. This is part of what we're being built together to be. You know, that's part of what he's doing. And our job is just to release the atmosphere of heaven in tune with Christ, who's our chief cornerstone, and the Holy Spirit, who is the glue that's holding us all together, right? So you guys want to stand up?
Yeah. I just want to add that, listen, the power of worship comes from the heart. So if you're sitting here thinking, okay, this extravagant worship thing, what does this mean practically? Does this mean that like I need to run around the building, or that I need to dance, or that I need to do this that this person's doing? No, it doesn't mean that, unless it does. Freely you've been given something, now freely give it away. In other words, don't judge my breakthrough till you see my been through. One of my friends is one of the most demonstrative worshipers I know, suffered from a season of intense depression. You would never know that by looking at this person today. But I guarantee you that the outpouring of this person's worship comes from the breakthrough that he received. Are you following me? Think about the woman who broke the alabaster box. What did the religious spirit, the not good spirit, say about that? Why are we doing this? This is ridiculous. And then they got real spiritual and like, we could have sold all that and given the money to the poor. And Jesus rebuked that spirit and said, no, no. So if you wonder, like, what do I do to worship? Do whatever God has in your heart, not in the flesh. You don't have to do it like anybody over here or anybody over there or anybody up there. Just because one person roars doesn't mean that you have to. We've all, well, most of us have been in worship environments too, where somebody from the platform is trying to get you to do something. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's always entirely wrong, but sometimes it can be fleshy. Yeah. It's like, why don't we all just shout? Why don't we all just raise our hands? Now, I've done that, okay? I'm not, again, there's moments to do that, but what I'm saying is the real power, that's why we're really trying not to get anybody to do anything. Because what we've seen is worship comes from here. And when that well of worship gets prime, buddy, I mean, it could be the most quiet person in the room and they could be the most demonstrative. Or the other way around. Because don't think that it's just noise and demonstration that is always powerful. It may be a quiet seatedness or a quiet sitting or someone just getting on their knees and pouring out their tears, right? Another person in the room may not hear anything or see anything. I'm just trying to get this point through because I think this is really, really important, especially in the season that we're going into, is God has put something in every person's heart.
Right.
So you worship out of that place.
Yes. Yes.
Don't worry about what the person standing next to you thinks or even what they do. You may or may not join in what their demonstration is, and that's okay.
Right.
Just do what God's put in you.
I think the point is, let's stay out of the judgmental place.
Right.
Yeah.
Just let me tell you, judgment will bring a whole bunch of junk onto you. You just want to stay in the place of grace. Don't try to figure out why the person next to you is doing what they're doing. Just set your eyes on Jesus.
Yeah.
And it will keep you out of you'll be able to worship freely.
Amen.
You know, that is true. It's like whether people are demonstrative or they're not. I have learned that you don't know what's going on with the person beside you.
Right.
You don't know why they're either feeling free or they're feeling real calm at the moment.
Yeah.
You know, but the truth of the matter is that we would just keep our eyes focused on the Lord and allow Him to do the work in each one of our hearts. Come here, Evan.
Yeah. Thank you. So I don't want to continue too much longer because I know we're trying to end this thing, but it's worship isn't just what happens up here, guys.
Right.
Yeah.
It is not the singing, the music, and all of that, right? It is a total worship.
That's right. We're all in the
worship.
Right.
And back home, our worship leader back home said, it's like passing fireballs back and forth.
That's right.
We're all going up. We get a fireball, we throw it out.
Mm-hmm.
You catch the fireball and throw it back.
That's right.
And it's this continual flame and burning of worship.
Yes.
And here's the key. The freer we all get from here to there, the higher my belief is, the higher we're going to go.
Yeah.
So as far as judgment goes, I'll give a little testimony. I need forgiveness there from all y'all.
Yeah.
Because being a musician is tough. Mm-hmm. But you're having the background and all that. You want it to be perfect. Want it to sound good, but there's a mesh of what the Lord's given you in that and what He wants to give you in that.
Yeah.
And join that together and let it go out.
Yeah.
So, anyway, get free.
Yeah.
Get free in your Lord.
That's right.
Get free in your Lord.
It's so good. Well, Lord, we just thank you.
Yes.
We thank you that if anyone's worthy, it's you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
That you have come, you have paid the price, that cup did not pass you by. You drank the whole thing, Lord. And we just want to honor you.
Yes.
We want to glorify you.
Yes.
We want that your heart, that we would just be able to honor you with everything in our lives, Lord Jesus. And I just ask you that you would continue to fan the flame in our heart, Lord God. Bring the wind, fresh fire. Lord, let the flames go higher. Lord, let us burn with passion for you. Lord, we come into alignment and we say, thank you, Lord, that you've given us a weapon, and our praise is a weapon, and worship is our warfare in this moment, that we have been made kings and priests, sons and daughters, Lord, and we just thank you and we praise you from the rooftops, Lord.
Yes.
We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah.
All right.